Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. With John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Halfway home on a Braves-winning wildcard Wednesday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And it's the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here. 404-741-0929. You know what? Here, a couple people are like, what exactly is your point? See, you in a nutshell are telling me exactly everything I need to know. What do you think the point is? This town goes around and does things like celebrate their division pennants, manager of the year trophies, and things like that. And then somebody comes up and says, well, why aren't you winning the World Series? Oh, but Washington got hot. Yeah, you missed my question, sir. Why didn't we win the World Series last year? Why was it them and not us? Why is it every other NFL team and not us? Why was it the Eagles and not us? Why was it the Nationals and not us? And then when I ask that question, you turn your head like a puppy lost in the woods. Oh, teams get hot. Why don't we get hot? Because anything can happen. Okay. Then why does it always happen? Always. Other than Atlanta United that figured it out. Why does everybody else not figure it out? Hey, yay, yay, yay. Like, what do you people want? Do you not want to win it all or what? Just say that. If you don't care about winning the ultimate prize, just say it. Don't dance around it. Say it. I'm okay with winning divisions. Or I'm okay with just showing up in the playoffs. Or I'm okay with just a winning record. Just say what your expectation is. My expectation is when you have talent, use it, capitalize on it. You know, Jarvis and I were just saying to me, what happens if Marcell Ozuna leaves? Well, if the Braves don't win the World Series this year, and let's say if Marcell Ozuna leaves, okay? You'll have the MVP of the league, the runner-up in the Cy Young, the guy that led in two of the three Triple Crown categories and didn't win with it. What? Then what? Then what? Well, I guess we'll regroup and go next year. Okay, and do the same thing? That's why I get so angry at these Falcons. Go ahead, fire Dan. You think this organization changes and gets better because you fired Dan Quinn? Hell, if that's all you had to do, every team would do that every three games. Or maybe it's a bigger problem. Maybe it's bigger than just Dan. Maybe, just maybe, it's bigger than the head coach just can't navigate his way through game day. Maybe it is. Gee, how could that be? Well, you said that seven guys that were drafted in the first, second round, only two of those guys are going to get a second-year contract? Well, that's got to be Dan's fault. It's got to be Dan's fault, right? Falcons are trying out kickers. Looks like Koo's going to miss a game or two. Kai Forbath? Elliot Fry? Any of those guys ring a bell or feel good? I hope Monday's game doesn't come down to a kick. Hopefully we don't have to try to win it with a field goal, because if you know anything about those guys, you're better than the rest of us, because I've got no clue what those guys are. All right, let's get to what Dan had to say with Dukes and Bell in his weekly interview here. Let's start with, come on, man. Where is, hang on, trying to wait for the cut sheet to open up. My computer all of a sudden just wants to go loopy. Of course, you hear Coach on Dukes and Bell's show each and every Tuesday after the Falcons game. Why will this thing not open up for me? Jarvis, what's the first clip? So I can try to repull this thing up here. Oh, here's Dan talking about his use or lack thereof of Todd Gurley in the fourth quarter.
Todd's been an excellent addition for us. We do feel like we have a number of weapons in all spots, you know, certainly at receiver and now tight end and running back. So, we don't feel like there's clamps on him at this pace. He's doing well. He's practicing well. So, heading into the game, there's not a count that we're on.
He had what, Jarvis, 14 carries, I think it was, in the game on Sunday, after he had 21 carries in the game the previous week? That's not – in another game where you had a lead and you had 6-minute and 4-minute offenses? Yeah, it's maddening. It's completely maddening to see that. You think Bill Parcells would have let Todd Gurley just not have a carry or two as we got in a 4-minute offense? Here's Dan talking about the status of Kendall Sheffield.
Sheff has certainly worked hard and rehabbed part of him for his foot, and he's looking forward to getting our first practice together, which will be Thursday this week with the Monday game. And so we're definitely looking forward to having him back out on the field.
As of right now, he's listed on the depth chart as the starting corner. Remember that whole accountability thing that we're going to have? When does that start with the players? Because they still have 26 listed as a starter at cornerback this week. So, remember when I said we're going to line up Monday, same owner, same GM that'll be in the luxury box watching the game, same coach, same coaching staff that coached us to 0-3, same players, same guys who, you know, been starting, it'll just all be the same. What's going to be different? Because Kendall Sheffield's filling in? Because A.J. Terrell may or may not be cleared in the COVID protocol? What's that have to do with 26? Because he's still starting. Well, Bleedy Ray Wilson's not a great option either. He ain't any worse than 26th. I wonder if I can, find these stats real quick, too. While I'm looking this up real quick, here's Dan talking about the pass rush with Jarrett and Tack and Fowler.
Well, we have a good sense for Grady, just knowing his past. He's a hard one to keep out. I'll just leave it at that. He just finds a way. He's relentless. He's tough as they get. And so, we're hopeful that Grady will be good to go. Like I said, the extra day this week, we're certainly looking forward to getting our full complement of guys, and Grady and McKinley and Fowler all out there ripping together. And so we're hopeful that that'll be the case this week.
All right, here's a couple of things. Got this here that they talk about. Falcons outside cornerbacks have surrendered 11 explosive plays of 15 plus yards this year. That's the second most in the NFL. And get this, it says here, 9 of those happened in the second half in pivotal moments. And this article talks about Aaron Rodgers, Pat Mahomes, Tom Brady. They still have to see all of those. Isaiah Oliver has given up a passer rating above 100 in each of his full seasons as a pro. See here. There's another one. There's a couple of fun stats that are in this thing. Since 2018, Atlanta ranks fifth to last in EPA per pass yards per play. Their team coverage grade of 65.5 ranks 26th in the league, while their 105.6 passer rating allowed is 29th in the NFL. How many teams are there in the NFL, Jarvis? How many teams are in the NFL? Okay. 29 is pretty low then, huh? Here's Dan talking about why he's confident that they can turn this thing around.
Well, I think, I'm extremely confident. You fight like hell for what you believe in, and I certainly do in these players and this team. And some of the things that we were so disappointed about leaving Dallas was defensively on third down and our play in the red zone, and we certainly made strides in there.
What were the strides that they made? I'm trying to understand what the big strides were. I mean, look, as I said last night, can't get mad at Dan. Dan's going to say all the same things. I get it. He's got his talking points. He's got his things that he wants to say and how he wants to say it. Can't be mad at Dan. This is not new. This isn't something that just popped up out of nowhere. This isn't something that just... The problem is now that the DNA of the organization has it, too. Problem is now is that that thing, you know, that DNA has been ingested into the rest of the organization. Because now everybody's like, well, you know, play here, play there, you know. Well, we love Coach, you know. What if you're Isaiah Oliver, how could you say anything bad about Dan Quinn? Oh, man, I screwed up. I apologize. If you're 26, how can you say anything bad about Dan Quinn when he's going to run you out there every week as a starter? How can you say anything bad about him? Should 26 be starting as a corner in the NFL? No. No. Every metric you can come up with puts him at below average, at best. At best, every metric you can find. Find any ranking or Pro Football Focus stat or analytics stat, anything you want. Anything. Use your eyes. Eye test. Well, we don't have a better option. Play Bleedy Ray Wilson and play Sheffield. How could those guys be any worse than what it's been? Yeah, we talked about this with the pass rush a couple of weeks ago. Why not blitz more? You're getting torched by everybody. Why not blitz? It can't be worse. If you already give up the second most plays of 15 yards or more in the NFL, you ain't got a whole lot of room to go down. Right? If you've given up the second most explosive plays on defense in the NFL, you don't have a whole lot of room to be worse. So why not think outside the box? Try something else. It can't get worse. You can't be worse than 0. The only thing worse than 0-3 is 0-4, but you're on track to be that anyway. At least go down swinging like Rocky. Going to go down. Go down firing away. Do everything you can. It's got to be more than, well, you know, we're working hard and we're just, you know, we're trying to find a way and we feel like we're close and all that. We know you're close. You're up 26-10 in one game, and what was the score in the Cowboys game that they were up, Jarvis? Was it 20-10 in that game or 29-10? 29-10, yeah. 29-10 against Dallas, 26-10 against the Bears. We know you're close because you figured out a way to get a lead. Now just get that last few minutes figured out. Oh, Lord. See here. Here's Dan talking about his thoughts on the Packers.
Well, I think this team has terrific balance as they're starting off in their first three games. You see that in their rushing attack. They're averaging almost 170 yards a game or somewhere in that spot. And they're leading the league in scoring. So they're having real balance in terms of how they're doing it, and that adds to their time of possession. So going against them, you've really got to be aggressive and make sure that you take your shots and you're able to deliver on them when those moments come.
So they have the best on-the-run throwing quarterback maybe of all time. Just go back and watch that play where he rolls out of the pocket and he just flips that thing downfield to his receiver over top of all the defenders. Okay? Now, Jarvis, I'm going to pay you $4 to come up with a game plan of what you ought to try against the Falcons. What do you think that ought to be? What do you think would be one easy thing to exploit if you're the Green Bay Packers versus the Atlanta Falcons?
Throw the ball at 2-6.
Yeah. Do they have a good wide receiver? Is he any good?
Devontae Adams pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He's real good, huh?
It really don't matter.
Let me ask you this. You want Devontae Adams or DK Metcalf? You there, Jarvis?
Say it one more time. You went out there, Chuck. My bad, man.
You want DK Metcalf? You want Devontae Adams?
Ooh, give me Adams all day.
Yeah. And they got a pretty good quarterback. The game plan won't be hard. They're going to come right at 26, go right after him, and say, stop us until you stop us, we'll just keep doing the same thing. Same thing over and over. It's like that promo of mine says. Do the same thing in football over and over again until you can stop us. All right, when we get back, it's time for That's Life. We will give you top 10 Braves relievers of all time. Because I had Craig Kimbrel as one of my top Braves players, Atlanta Braves players of all time. Top 10 Braves relievers as part of That's Life, a couple of other things as well. We'll be back. Chuck, we're here on Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. 9:22 on this Wednesday evening. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to be a part of the show. Don't forget the radio.com app is how you listen to us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Hit us up on our Twitter pages at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. All right. A few things to get to here. One is it's been a good week so far on the market. I will have to say that at least this end of September, as we head toward October, believe it or not, we are just what? Are we a day or so away? Is there one more day of September, or are we officially into October tomorrow? I don't remember. Today's the 30th or something, isn't it? Yes. Is there one more day? Is there 31 days in September? I don't even know. I can never keep that straight. Is there 30 or 31 days? I know there's 31 in October because that's Halloween, which will be interesting this year. All right, so tomorrow's October 1st. Gosh, crazy. So I'm curious to see how the market starts to respond to the election going on, because I was up big early and then it just all tanked. I got ahead, 4 or 5 bucks or whatever like that, but whew, I'm glad September's over from that standpoint. So I'm gonna be very curious as we head into October, November, how the market responds to these, because I mean, if they get it, they got a couple more of these debates yet to happen. They got the VP debate, which I think is next week. I think next week is the. So this will be fascinating to watch how the market responds to some of this. So there's a lot of good deals to be had, by the way, too. If you're still thinking about investing, there's still some deals to be had out there. So, all right, very quickly here before we get to our Braves, top relievers of all time. I brought up on the show, and I know I brought it up on my Twitter. I thought I brought it up on the show. Maybe I didn't. But, you know, do you know who Tom Hardy is? The actor Tom Hardy? Are you familiar with him at all? All right. Did you watch the Batman movie that had Bane in it, The Dark Knight, with the one with Bane?
Yeah, I watched it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's Tom Hardy played Bane.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got you.
Do you remember that they had the comic book movie, I don't know, a year or two ago called Venom? Like that's like Spider-Man's enemy or something like that, Venom. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I remember,
okay.
Yeah.
So he played Venom as well. So he's kind of a big, stocky guy. I mean, if you saw him in Bane and stuff like that. So he's become the favorite to win or to be the next James Bond that a couple of bookmakers in Vegas that do stuff like they put odds on some of these different things actually shut down. They had him at 5-1, and then they changed it to 1-3. So he was a 5-1, meaning that if I bet a dollar, I can win five. He became a 1-3, meaning that you have to bet $3 to win one. And then they actually shut down betting on him because they were taking so many bets for it out there. So if you're curious as to who may be very well announced as the next James Bond, bookmakers in Vegas actually shut down betting on Tom Hardy being the next Bond because he's become the overwhelming favorite. So somebody must know something out there, right? There's always somebody that's got some kind of insider information that knows what's going on out there. I thought that was crazy that Vegas actually had bookmaking odds on the next James Bond, but it's like everything else, right? You can bet on, I'm sure you can find a bet on everything. Not just sports, but everything going on, right? TV shows, entertainment, all those things. All right. So tonight, top 10 with the Braves bullpen rolling right along the way that they did today. Top 10 Atlanta Braves relievers of all time. Jarvis, you have the floor with your list.
All right, so I'm going to go start off with a guy that I really liked in the early 90s, Alejandro Pena. Mm-hmm. He was a good one. Greg McMichael. Peter Moylan, a guy we've had on the show a couple of times. And
yeah,
he was pretty solid. How about Eric O'Flaherty?
That's a good call, too. He was good, too.
Yeah, he was good. And Billy Wagner came over from the Mets and, you know, did his thing with the team for a cup of coffee. Kevin Millwood.
Okay.
Mark Wohlers. Johnny Venters.
Oh, that's a good name, too.
How about that one? How about that one?
You know what? He was an all-star. He made the all-star team for the Braves as a reliever.
Yep.
He made the all-star team, if I remember right.
And
that's a good name.
You know the final two who they are, and you know, I know I don't have to say it, but I'm gonna go ahead and say it for people who might not know. Craig Kimbrell, John Smoltz.
Yeah, I think they're 1-2 in saves or somewhere like that. Kimbrell's number one, I know.
Yeah,
in the history of the franchise. So how many similar players do you think we have?
I know for a fact that we have at least two.
We've got five.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So I've got Kimbrell and Smoltz as well. I've got Mark Wohlers as well. And I know the 96 World Series leaves a bad taste in people's mouth, but he was a dominant closer for this team for a few years. I've got Greg McMichael and Alejandro Pena as well. They were huge pieces to some of these. You know, obviously Pena was here early in that run with the 91-92 teams and was a big component of those teams. And then Greg McMichael was always so solid on some of those, you know, mid-late 90s teams that he was always just kind of one of those guys that you could pitch him like every day, it seemed like. All right, here's the guys I got. I got one old-school name for you because he was the closer back when the Braves weren't winning a whole lot of games and won a whole lot of games to close. But I think at one time he was the franchise leader in saves. Gene Garber is my old-school guy. I've got Mike Stanton, who was a closer for a while. You may or may not remember Mike Stanton, the closer for this team. Another guy that was just kind of one of those guys like Greg McMichael, Mike Remlinger. Mike Remlinger was a guy who did a lot of good things for the Braves in those late 90s, early 2000s years. He was one of those unsung heroes. And then here's two fun names that I've got as well. One is Kerry Leitenberg. Do you remember Kerry Leitenberg, Jarvis? Do you remember Kerry Leitenberg, the closer? I think we've lost Jarvis again. Seems like we keep losing Jarvis in this whole thing.
Yeah, I don't remember him, man. I don't remember him.
All right, Kerry Leitenberg was a closer for a few years here. I want to say that he was, I don't want to say that. I'm trying to think if he came after Smoltzy and some of those guys. And was I know he was before Craig Kimbrell. And my final guy, and I wondered whether or not you would have his name on your list, Jarvis, but John Rocker. I've got John Rocker on here. You know,
I thought about him. I thought about him, but I just couldn't make myself put his name on the list.
Well, I can understand. Yeah. You know, he was more than just a closer for this team, too. You know, I mean, obviously, he became a closer for this team, but he was also a guy that pitched setup out of the bullpen as well. And before he went completely crazy and started believing all of his own hype and everything like that, he was a really good pitcher. Like, he was a very good pitcher. And, of course, you know, he got, you know, the big head and the interview and the article, and it just all went kind of downhill and all that kind of stuff, and then started believing his hype and things like that. But he had some really nasty stuff, John Rocker. When he was when he was young and it was just baseball-oriented, he had some filthy stuff out there and was a closer, you know, for a while out there. But, and I'm with you. I mean, obviously, to me, when Craig Kimbrell was at his peak, he was every bit statistically as dominant as Eckersley or any of those other guys you could come up with that had those monster years. Even Smoltzy, any of those guys that had those massive years as closers, Kimbrell had numbers like that. He also, too, he had some of those numbers in Boston as well. And you know what's crazy about when he leaves Atlanta, and remember the famous series, that whole Monday night, Jarvis, you had the Falcons lost to Geno Smith and the Jets on Monday Night Football in the Georgia Dome, okay? The Atlanta Dream lost the WNBA title, I believe it was, that night. And the Braves lost their divisional playoff game against the Dodgers and got knocked out of the playoffs that night. And part of what everybody got angry with Freddie Gonzalez about was the fact of, why didn't you go to Kimbrell in the eighth inning?
Four-out closeout.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is, once Kimbrell left here, Atlanta, and he went to the Red Sox, that's how John Farrell used him. He used Craig Kimbrell as a four- or five-out closer when he needed. So if he needed Kimbrell to come in and get an out or two in the eighth, he would bring him in. And he said that one of the things that when they acquired Kimbrell was they wanted to use him more in the eighth inning, and they thought that they could stretch him out. And did they win one World Series or two World Series with Kimbrell there? I know they won at least one. I can't remember if they won two World Series with him as the closer. I think it was two. I think it was two World Series, because they beat he was there when they beat the Dodgers, right? When they beat the Dodgers, he was the closer on that team. But I'm trying to remember if he was the closer before that, and they won a World Series with him. I know he won at least one World Series with the Red Sox. Was that the only one that he won? Was just that one with the Red Sox? Okay, all right. I couldn't remember if he was there before all of that, stuff like that. But he had we're going to talk about a guy that just had filthy stuff. And then, of course, Smoltzy. I mean, how much fun was it to see a guy like John Smoltz become that Dennis Eckersley type of pitcher? And then, of course, you know, he went back to starting, but that was so much fun. What Smoltzy closed 2 years, I think it was. The 1 year he had like 54 saves or something like that, some stupid number. It's like 50 something saves that he had. He was so dominant, and it was so cool to see a guy that, you know, obviously had been such a great starting pitcher and things like that, and he ended up his career with like 125 saves to go along with the wins and everything that he had. Just a remarkable career to be able to do that. You know, him and Dennis Eckersley and guys like that were able to, you know, change themselves up and, you know, in their career actually, you know, switched going from starter to reliever. In John's case, he went back to being a starting pitcher. You know, he didn't like the whole, you know, get up and get warmed up and then sit back down, get up and get warmed up and sit back down at times. He didn't like that part of it. He didn't think that was as good for him. He thought it was better to be a starter and stretch out and everything like that. Whatever he did, it worked, because it got him in the Hall of Fame got him as a first ballot to the Hall of Famer. So, all right, when we get back, we talked to Gabe Burns from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about the Braves' victory over the Cincinnati Reds earlier this evening. We'll let you hear that interview coming up next. It is John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on this Wild Card Winning Wednesday. Sports Radio 910 The Game on the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.